Hello and welcome to USSOcast, a US Studies online podcast. Here we chat to PhDs and ECAs in American Studies about their research, their life in academia, and all things in between. I'm Sarah Collier.
And I'm Robin Chuta, and we're joined today by our BookReview editor, Sean Round, who is sadly leaving us this week. So welcome, Sean.
Hi. Hi, Sarah. Hi, Robin.
It's nice to have you on finally in the hot seat as opposed to in our editorial meetings. So I guess let's start from the start. Tell us a bit about yourself. Tell us a bit about your research.
Sure. I am in my third year of my PhD at the University of Cambridge, and I look at little magazines, literary magazines in the American South, in the kind of period known as the Southern Renaissance. So the magazines I'm looking at are all between 1921 and 1945. And that's it's a big project because I'm looking at six magazines. So it involves more reading than I anticipated, even for a literature PhD.
That's really, really interesting. So I'm sure some of our listeners will be familiar with kind of the little magazine concept, but I was just wondering if you could explain a little bit more about it and a little bit of the history of it.
Sure, yeah. So kind of what we call little magazines, I mean, lots of people give them different definitions, but there was kind of a period in the early 20th century where lots of magazines that were either funded by the people editing them or funded by institutions were created broadly to, you know, have poetry, short stories, articles that were sent around, and they're not kind of commercial ventures, they're really just to try out new work. So this period in the early 20th century is a kind of little magazine boom. And you have things like Joyce publishes Ulysses in the Little Review. And, you know, you have all these kind of very key modernist figures publishing their work in magazines before publishing it as a book. And what was kind of so interesting about them was that we're in a period of time where technology's advanced such that magazines can be printed very cheaply and they can be sent all across the world. So really, when we think about the little magazine movement, we think of it as this kind of transatlantic movement between kind of the big cities of Paris and New York. So that's a little bit of the kind of history of little magazines.
So you said that we think about them as being between Paris and New York. So what makes the Southern little magazine stand out?
This is really what I'm looking at, because the magazines I'm researching are all based in cities in the South generally. So I'm looking at one in New Orleans, one in Richmond in Virginia, one in Baton Rouge, some in Georgia. So kind of all around the South, but I'm looking at how these magazines, which are often kind of as cosmopolitan or transatlantic as the Little Review or kind of the Dial, but they're based in the South. So they've kind of always got that regional distance. And I'm looking at how they balance the kind of cosmopolitanism and excitement of the little magazine movement with the label of what it means to be Southern and to be kind of on the periphery. And I really enjoy the research, partly because a lot of these magazines haven't really been looked at by anyone before, or kind of people have looked at individual articles, but I think my study is kind of the first kind of comprehensive piece of work looking at little magazines in the South. And just to kind of step back a bit, I mentioned this is a period known as the Southern Renaissance. So you kind of have the Civil War, and then for a long time after that, and potentially still today, people think about culture being from the South being kind of rooted in the past and this kind of lost cause mythology. And so the South is kind of almost always associated with backward ideas. And this period of time I'm looking at that we call the Southern Renaissance is when a lot of nationally recognized authors were coming out of the South. So the most famous is William Faulkner. And so I'm kind of, my research is trying to find that kind of cross between this Renaissance and then the little magazine boom and what we can kind of make of that material.
Yeah, I think that's touching on a lot of the really interesting conversations. I think we've fortunately had before and leads into kind of the next question in terms of a recent roundtable we both participated in at FAST 2022 about the idea of Southern identity and Southern culture, and especially cultural production. And I was wondering if you could just talk a bit more about that experience and possibly some of the discussions there.
Yeah, so this was a roundtable at the big BAS conference in Hull the other week, and organised by Robin, actually, and we had four presenters, each presenting a little bit about their research, all on different elements of culture in the South. So Robin and Simon Buck were talking about music in the South, and then I was talking about literary magazines, and Chris Lloyd was talking about Percival Everett's most recent novel, and also about kind of monuments. And so that roundtable was really interesting, partly because there aren't a huge number of people in the UK who work in Southern studies. So it's always really nice to come together and particularly kind of think about how we can be Southern scholars with that distance from America. And I think it was a really fruitful discussion, partly because we got to share our research, but also because we got to think about questions of what it means for culture to be Southern. And then we also had lots of conversations kind of about memory and how the South deals with this past that they have that kind of almost defines what we think of when we think of Southernness. So it was a really kind of fruitful discussion, motivated me as I move into this latter end of the PhD.
I definitely got that as well as an observer of the roundtable. There was such like a palpable joy. I know I keep talking about it, but I really loved that roundtable. I think it was my favorite one of the conference because it just felt like everyone was so invested in the research and it was such like a dynamic discussion. That would be my next question. Why are roundtables? Why do you think they're such good modes of discussion and knowledge exchange?
Well, I think there's two things, because I think part of what made that roundtable really nice was that we all started with a presentation and we each spoke for maybe 8 minutes. So it was quite a short presentation, much shorter than a normal conference paper. And so it meant it was quite refreshing to get this little snippet of lots of people's work. And then I think the second thing that I found really productive about the roundtable was it had less of that kind of division in a normal conference panel between the papers and the Q&A. You know, we could constantly listen to questions and kind of have conversations with people who are in the audience, a lot of whom were Southern scholars themselves. So I think it was one of the most productive things, I think, in the conference for me, because it had that dialogue. I'm glad that you enjoyed it, Sarah.
I really did. I'll be going to more.
Absolutely. I think just to echo all of that, I think it was so fantastic to hear about everybody's work, and it was really great to hear more, especially about kind of all these different modes of cultural production and how they're kind of informed by Southern studies, and especially kind of the little magazine movement. I think that was a really, really interesting, there was lots of really interesting discussions around that. Directing a little bit back towards some of the work you've done with USSO, we were just wondering what has been your favourite part of working with your team and working with USSO?
Well, I've been with USSO for 2 years now almost, and part of it's been nice. I started in the first year of my PhD during the kind of first wave of COVID, and I think you know, I come into the PhD and actually my topic changed quite early on, and I was all a bit bewildered that first year and really hadn't engaged with the wider American studies community. And so it was really nice being part of the USSO team and meeting other people who both worked and cared about American studies. And then the book reviews editor role itself is such an outward facing role. You know, I commission book reviews and I get to kind of work with other scholars on material that they are interested in and they love, and I get to edit their book reviews, and I've learned so much. I think I haven't counted it up properly, but I think when the last book review I've edited comes out, I'll be at around 45 book reviews, which feels like such an accomplishment over 2 years. And they're on such a range of topics. You know, I've learned about like Charlie Brown and Peanuts. I've learned more about politics than I ever thought I'd know, and I'm rubbish on American politics. You know, so much kind of American history, so much literature, but also film. There's been things on like Black Panther. There's just been kind of parts of everything. And it's been a real privilege actually to learn so much and to really kind of understand the field of American studies today and also the people who are working on it in the UK and further afield. So that's quite a long answer for what my favorite bit is, partly because I've loved it all. I just want to talk a little bit about what we did at BAS, because that again was really great, because it was the first time that a lot of people on the team had met each other in person, which is kind of crazy after 2 years working all together. And we hosted writing workshops, which I know I was with you two, Sarah and Robin, in a writing workshop on the last morning. And I think that was so kind of productive, but also kind of heartwarming that we had people coming and saying like, look, we want to share our work with you, and we could all kind of work together and thinking about how we could make people's writing kind of more impactful and public facing. And I think that's one of the really wonderful things about USSO, is that we get to share people's research in a much more friendly environment than the kind of peer review process. So yeah, it's really all been wonderful.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's almost like there's a sort of demystifying to academic writing, certainly that I've felt through working with USSO, where all of a sudden these kind of things feel more manageable, I suppose, because of it being a friendly, more like community environment. So definitely agree with you on that. So what's on your horizon? What's next?
Well, I've kind of got a little bit more time now because I've stepped down from the USSO role. So really I should be filling that time with writing the PhD. I'm kind of in the process of writing my last chapter, which is on the Southern Agrarians and a magazine called the Southern Review, which actually of the magazines I'm looking at is probably the most well-known, the most kind of looked at, partly because the people who are the Agrarians can go on to become the New Critics. And so they have this kind of place in American literary history that's much more established than anyone else I'm looking at. So really, at the moment, my focus is trying to get my teeth into that and work out what it is I want to say. So really that's me for the next at least 6 months is writing that and then getting the thesis done. But I'm hoping to fit in a research trip to America at some point if I can get over there.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'd like to hear about that. Are you looking forward to this sort of writing part of your PhD? Are you more of a reader or a writer?
I think I'm more of a reader than a writer. I do like writing. I think what I found certainly with this chapter is that there's so much to read. Partly the magazine itself ran for 7 years and each year is 1,000 pages. So that's kind of like the primary material alone is 7,000 pages. And there's just so many books written about them that I think the past few months I've been like, oh, I can't start writing yet. I can't start writing yet. And now I've got like 3,000 words on a page, and I'm happy, at least for now, that it's shaping up to be something. But I think in general, I like reading and making notes and writing kind of, I'm a reluctant writer. I think I have friends who just want to write everything and get their work out there, whereas I'm a bit hesitant.
Yeah, I think we can all definitely relate to that phase when you have to kind of sit down, you've got a blank screen, and you begin kind of that writing process. I think obviously in terms of your super extensive knowledge on sort of books and sort of what's been published recently, or even sort of some past works as well, I was wondering if you could share with us some of your reading recommendations, academic, and then also more generally, what have you been reading lately or listening to or watching?
So an academic book that's come out in the past year that I really loved, and actually I've written a review for it that's hopefully coming out soon, is a book by a woman called Yuri Dahn, and it's called Jim Crow Networks, African-American Periodical Cultures. And what it's doing in the book is she's looking at African-American little magazines and newspapers and various aspects of kind of the networks, and particularly interesting is how she looks at letters to the editor as kind of forming a community, but also one that's kind of manufactured in a way, right? Because the magazine decides which letters that they publish, and so that they can kind of craft identities through that. And she has a chapter on Jean Toomer that's been very foundational to my work, partly because I have written a bit about Jean Toomer myself in one of my chapters, looking at the same material I was looking at in the Bass Roundtable. I was looking at a magazine called The Double Dealer, and that magazine was run by white people, and they decided to publish Jean Toomer, but they rejected two of his pieces, partly because they thought it would be too controversial. And so Yuri Dahn's chapter is really interesting because it looks at the kind of different networks Toomer created by placing his work in different magazines, and how he was trying to kind of craft a global audience. So that's a really interesting academic book, and does kind of the research that I want to be doing, or at least kind of what I'm trying to do at the moment, which is using different methods. I've learned a huge amount from that book. Probably the last book I read for fun, and it wasn't very fun really, but it was very important, was Sadia Hartman's Lose Your Mother. And I've not really read much of Hartman's work, but I've heard so many great things. And this is, I think it's from 2007, and it's she goes to Ghana and tries to kind of retrace the roots of slavery, and goes to the kind of castles on the coast where, you know, the people were taken and held before they were sent over to the States. And a lot of that book is her reckoning with what the legacy of slavery is in America today, and kind of public memory and public mourning, and so many questions that kind of pervade contemporary politics and ideas. And it's also, I mean, it's obviously a heavy book, but it's hugely interesting, but also beautifully written. And it's one of these books that kind of combines memoir with history in such a sophisticated way, so that's something that I would really recommend. Or kind of, I haven't read Hartman's more recent work, but I know that she's kind of this genius researcher and writer.
Yeah, thank you. That sounds really interesting. I'll definitely check those out. Where is your Dahn review coming out?
It's coming out in the Cambridge Quarterly. I'm not sure in which quarter. but hopefully fairly soon.
Great.
So I'll publicise that when it's out.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes peeled. Cool. Okay, well, thank you so much, Sian, for joining us. Yeah, thank you for all of your great work as book reviews editor. You're going to be sorely missed on the team, but it's been really wonderful to hear more about yourself as Sian Round and not as Sian Round, book reviews editor, I guess.
Well, thank
you so much for joining us. It was, again, really fantastic always to hear more about your work. And again, just as Sarah said, thank you so much for all the work you've done for USSO.
Don't worry, it's not the last of me. I'm sure that you'll see me at various BAS things in the future.
I'm sure we will. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.